right. Thank you very much. Appreciate that, John and Brenda. Let's take our Bibles, if you will, please. We're going to turn to 1 John chapter 4. I know this is one of my favorite passages, but I want you to see something a little different where you'll recognize a little bit of this. But something kind of jumped at me the other day when I was reading, and I wanted to spend a little time on it. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 17. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 17. Appreciate you being here tonight. God bless you. Not a bad crowd for a cold night. That's pretty good. I appreciate that. And good to have the kids back this week. We missed them last week. I know it's the Super Bowl and all that kind of stuff, but they all brought us home. But I appreciate you kids being with us tonight. John, 1 John chapter 4, verse number 17. Look what it says here. Herein is love made perfect. In other words, this is how, in this way, is love made complete, brought to its fullness, if you will. Herein is love made perfect, how's that? That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. In other words, we will not be hesitant when the day comes that we're going to stand before God, meet Him face to face, and give an account of what we've done in this body and every idle word which we've spoken. He says, we can have boldness in that day of judgment if our love is made complete. So what does that mean? Well, the fact is, if our love is made complete, we're going to do what God wants us to do. If we're doing what God wants us to do, we're not going to be a problem when we have to stand before God at judgment day. Does that make sense? And so, remember, I'm supposed to keep the law and all this stuff? Well, you know, first of all, we're under grace, but the law is the love of the Lord thy God, all the heart, mind, soul, strength, and the neighbor as thyself. So if our love has grown, our love is full, He said, we will have boldness in the day of judgment. We won't be scared. Watch. Look at the next phrase here. Because as He is, Jesus, as Jesus is, so are we in this world. Let me go back and read it now and put it all in context without all that in there. Herein is love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. In other words, because we will have been in the world what Jesus was in the world. You follow what I'm saying? We will have boldness before the judgment seat because we will have been in this world what Jesus was in the world, or at least a reasonable facsimile thereof, okay? As the Father sent Him, in like manner Jesus has sent us. Now, did we do what we were sent to do? Love the world and thus show the Father, glorifying Him. God put His love into our hearts, not just to give us a warm, fuzzy feeling, but to do the work of glorifying God, allowing the world to see who God is. So in other words, herein is love. This is what love is all about. This is what it's here for. It's why we have it. Herein is love is our made perfect that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. When we become as He is in this world, then we have fulfilled our calling. And we'll be able to stand before the Lord with a clean conscience. Let's pray. And I'm going to talk on that three-word clause there. As He is. As He is. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank You for Your Spirit. We thank You for speaking to our hearts. Thank You for the good service this morning. Lord, thank You for Your love, the everlasting, unstoppable, never-ending love that goes beyond understanding. Thank You for Your love. And Lord, though, we pray that You'll help us to use that, use that, work through us with that. Lord, yes, we need to live right and righteously and all those things, and those are part of that. And Lord, because of the love that You live out through us, we're going to do those things because then people can see Christ. So Lord, I pray with these few moments we have here this evening, speak to our hearts. Give us what we need. Lord, be one tonight doesn't know Christ as their Savior. Maybe tonight be the night that they'll see Christ for who He is and accept His death on the cross as payment for their sin. Lord, maybe all of us need to just take a step toward You here this evening, to walk in Your steps, to be a little closer, close to Thee, so that others may see Christ in us. Thank You so much for what You're doing. In Christ's name, amen. The first epistle to John, that just means a letter. The first epistle of John contains many wonderful themes. One of the themes is knowing that you know that you know you're saved. I mean, it's a wonderful thought. These things are written that you may know that you have eternal life. And that, in fact, you can follow that word know through 1 John. That's a good study. Just go through all the things we are to know. That's a wonderful study. And of course, the theme of love in the book of 1 John. It's one of my favorite books. It's all God's Word, I understand, but one of my favorite books, and you know that because I spend an awful lot of time in there. But we can know that we've passed from death unto life. Isn't that interesting when it says we truly pass from death unto life? This world is death. The next world with Christ is life. Now, one way that we know that we are saved is that we are becoming like Christ. And if we are not becoming more like Christ, I think we need to reassess our life, either our salvation or our walk with Him. I think some people take great offense to to such a statement when you say you need to reassess our salvation. The only reason I can think of that a person who truly wants to be saved would take offense at such a statement is that they are afraid of what they may discover if such an assessment were actually to be made. If they are saved, I think these characteristics are becoming manifest in their lives, then that should actually reassure them of their salvation and thus bring joy and peace and delight to their souls, because you know what? I ain't the person I used to be. There's folks in here, there's some in here that I've had the privilege of leading to the Lord who will tell me, now you didn't know me before I got saved, but I was a mess. Well, I would have never known. It seems like wonderful people. It's a wonderful thing what God can do. Now, if they truly want to know Christ and these things make their lack of salvation known, then they should be glad to know so that they can make the calling and election sure. In fact, 2 Peter 1 says, beside this, you've heard me quote it many times, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Listen, we want to know it in our own heart. We're saved. We know it. It's done. It's because of grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not what if it's of works, then it's not of grace. If it's of grace, then it's not of works. So I got saved by grace, but I'm going to keep it by works. It can't do that. If it's of grace, it's of grace. Even the most little minute sin, you can call it a mistake, you can call it oops, or whatever you want to call it, it's still sin. And that sin, you break the law at one point, you've broken the whole law. We cannot go into the presence of God with sin. He has paid it all. If he hasn't paid it all, then he might as well have saved his time and his suffering and not paid for any of it, because not one of us is going to be able to live it. On the other hand, add to your faith virtue and virtue knowledge. Become as much like Christ as you can. So asking you to assess if the characteristics of Jesus are becoming manifest in your life makes you angry. If that's the case, maybe you should look into your own heart and allow the Spirit of God to search your heart and see if indeed you're really saved. If you are saved, are you still growing in the Lord? If you're not becoming more and more like Christ, then we are probably becoming less and less like Christ. We are to be in the world as Jesus was in the world. We are to glorify God. And if we are to be as He is, then my question is, how is He? As He is in the world, so are we supposed to be. So what is that? Well, let me just, we could go forever, and I'm going to stay pretty well in the same books. So we won't go forever. You can breathe a sigh of relief. But let me show you some here that we have in 1 John that John brings to our attention. Number one, Number one, if we're to be as he is, we are to be light as he is the light. We are to be light as he is the light. 1 John 1, verse 5. 1 John 1, 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we're right next to him, having communion with him, and we're still doing a lot of things that's in the dark, so to speak, we can't say we're walking with him. Can't say, because he doesn't walk in the dark. Can a drunk lead somebody else to the Lord? I think he can. By the way, on Wednesday night, when we go through each one, we've been talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. And listen, if you have the power of the Holy Spirit, you're really going to be able to do a whole lot more in the way of soul winning. But I will say this. You don't expect to be perfect before you start winning souls. That's not what I'm saying. Because for one thing, the Word of God is not returned void. And God works on the heart of, we may not have the Word of God too well in our heart, but at least we're a carrier. All right? We can affect somebody anyway if we got the Word of God. But the more we can clean ourselves up, the more we have the power of God, the more effective it's going to be. Now, I say this to say this. That is, some folks, well, you know, I'm going to go down to the bar and have a drink and see if how many folks I can win to the Lord. Now, come on. Now, it's possible that compared to you, somebody else is even worse, and they think you're some, you know, if you get far enough down in there, you know, they can say, wow, you went to church twice this month? Boy, you're really spiritual. I'd be impressed with that. I mean, it can happen. But that's not walking in the light as he is in the light. The word light there means to make manifest, to make known, to turn on the light so that it may be seen for what it really is. Jesus comes giving out truth so we can see it for what it is. Now, it says there, verse 5, and in the end of verse 5, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. We're lying to ourselves and everybody else, and do not the truth. We're not doing truth. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light, here it is, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. Now, wait a minute. Christ's talking to brethren. He's saying, brethren, you got sins too. But you don't lie to yourself and say you don't have sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we haven't done anything wrong, we make him a liar because he's told us we're sinners. And his word is not in us. Now, watch. When we walk in the room, we're supposed to, as he is, so are we to be in the world, okay? And when we walk in the room, do we bring light into the room or do we bring darkness into the room? Do we obscure and confuse the things of God or do the things of God come to light? When you walk in the room and say, you know what, there's somebody that walks with God. Now, I don't understand. I may not even like everything they do. I may even feel convicted by what they do, but I do know this. It's like they walked right out of the book itself. Now, I'm not saying put on a show. I'm saying get close to them so it oozes out of you. That always reminds me of Tom Malone. Tom Malone's a great preacher out of Pontiac, Michigan years ago. He's since gone to the Lord. He was just a wonderful man. Even when he was 80, I remember picking him up at the airport, and everything was just wonderful. First time he preached, Dr. Smith down in Ecuador had him come in to preach, and this is what, back in the early 80s there, and he preached, and he was just so excited about having Tom Malone come to preach at our church, and he started preaching, I don't understand a horrible word he was saying. I used to call him, no, they don't preach his voice. And I embrace him. Y'all don't scare me. I didn't voice at all. My time is done. You know? And I thought, what in the world is this? You know? And he stood up and he didn't smile at all. You know, just talking like business. He says, this is just a wonderful church. I just love Dr. Smith. Appreciate him. And your church is wonderful people. Now, I'm not trying to be sweet. I don't have to try to be sweet. Sweetness just oozes out of me. But the fact is, as funny as he was, sweetness did ooze out of him. It was just his personality, but he was one of the nicest men you ever want to meet. Gracious, kind, unassuming, undemanding. Just one of those people you just want to serve because everything you do is great and wonderful. Not putting on a show, just very grateful, very humble man. Does your life make God obvious? Or do we confuse others because we're inconsistent? Inconsistence. Do we make the things of God to become clearer or more confusing? We cannot be living for God and for ourselves at the same time. If we're going to turn on the light, are we up one day and down one day? You remember when you were in high school, it was like this when I was in high school. The teenagers were trying to find themselves, you know, and I understand that. And some days, some girl would come in, she'd have heels, and almost looked like it was a prom gown, all dialed up, her hair done, earrings, and one. The next day she came in sweats and dirty tennis shoes, and I'm not sure she had even washed her hair. You know what I mean? And it was just like one day was up and one day was down. Christians do the same thing. One day, well, I'm going to be a Christian today, and I'm going to let everybody know, and then the next day, said, man, that was hard work. I'm going to give myself a break today. Let your moderation be known. The Lord's at hand. Listen, when we walk with him, there ought to be a consistency. Do you obey him one day, and the next day you're cursing? I've seen people try to lead somebody to the Lord one day, and the next day they smack their hand with a hammer, you know, and they're cursing up one side of the tree and down the other. And they wonder why their witness isn't doing much good. You can't say we're walking in the light when there's darkness mixed in, because in him there's no darkness at all. There's no darkness in Jesus at all. There should be no detectable, because we're not perfect now, no detectable darkness in us at all. That's our goal. What do you spend your time doing? What TV or other entertainment do you indulge in? I'm going to say you can't have a TV, but there's stuff on there we shouldn't be watching. There's a lot of stuff on there we shouldn't be watching. A lot of stuff. I mean, I'm glad some of these stations have come up with some old things. You know, I can watch Andy Griffith and Father Knows Best. And even there's some funny little things in there every once in a while. But not quite. You don't, man, just going through the clicker sometimes. I mean, just for a second, I've got my, we have a TV and we got a DVR. Because it's home recording funniest home videos right now. But anyway, but it runs slow. And if I go through that one, it takes a little while for it to change to the next channel. And sometimes that's all it took. I just saw somebody put a gun to somebody's head, pull the trigger and the blood spurt. Or see somebody hit somebody with a, I don't know, we don't need to see that. Or some immoral guy, some guy in bed with some woman or something, they don't need to see that. Consistency, are we light or are we dark? Do we walk with one foot in the church and one foot in the world? Do you fight and squabble with the other brothers and sisters in Christ? Listen, we are to be as he is, as much as we can be with God's help. Matthew 5:14, ye are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and to give it light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. As he is the light, we are to be the light. Number two, we are to walk as he walks. We are to walk as he walks. Now that word walk here, we're going to see it in a verse in a second. It means the way one lives his life, his deportment, what he does, where he goes, how he lives, what's his, as he walks life's path, what are we occupied doing? 1 John 2, turn the page to 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. 1 John 2, 3. It says, hereby we do know that we know him. Remember this? We know that we know him. We know that we're saved if we keep his commandments. Now, I didn't write it. It's pretty clear. Now, are we perfect? No. We learned about that. He started that in 1 John. If we say we have no sin, make God a liar. Truth is not in us. But is that what we're striving for? Even then, there may be lapses. As you grow, you're a babe. Listen, when you were growing up, you had trouble obeying your parents once in a while. Maybe more than once in a while. But as life, as you grew up, it, you know, you got more accustomed to do it, became part of the habit. This is what you do. Here's how we do it. Lord willing, you know, your parents trained you as a way you should go. And when we get older, we don't depart from it. We become trained. It's part of who we are. I brush my teeth every morning. I brush my teeth every night before I go to bed. And it could be that I may brush my teeth if I go out to visit. I'm going to brush my teeth again after dinner before, I'm not home in the middle here, but I'm going to brush my teeth before I go out and visit. There's certain things I do. It's part of the habit. I've been doing my hair like this since I was 15 years old. It looked kind of weird on a 15-year-old, but it was a whole lot more of it back then. Anyway, but that's just what I do. It becomes who you are, my way of life. He says, listen, if you know him, and you know that you know, one of the ways we know that we know him, that keeping his commandments has become part of our way of life. If you say, well, I'm deciding whether, you know, she's really pretty. I'm trying to decide whether I want to have a little affair with that little gal there at the office. You better check your salvation. At least your walk with him. If you were just to say, well, as long you can look as long as you don't touch, you need to go back and check that too. First of all, it is sin, but listen, you get that close to sin, you can slide in something. You could slide into sin and you never thought you were going to get allowed to go. Like I've said before, sin always takes you where you wouldn't want to go, and it takes you longer than you wanted to stay. It takes you further than you wanted to go, and it's going to cost you more than you thought you were going to have to pay. Always does. He says there, verse 3, and hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. I didn't write it. Here it is. You can't say I know him and not have a problem with sin. The truth is, he's a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. What? Where are we going back with this love of God thing here? If I love you, I'm not going to cheat on you. I'm not going to cheat. Okay, if I love my wife, I'm not going to cheat on her. If I love you, I'm not going to steal your car. If I love you, I'm going to be glad that you have the house that you have, even if it may be a whole lot bigger than mine. If I love you, I won't covet. On those two commandments, loving God and others, loving God supremely and loving others, is all the law and commandments. He says, listen, if you do right, you're going to walk with him. It's because of love. Verse 5, but whosoever keepeth his word in him verily or truly is the love of God perfected. It's grown. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk. Here it is, even as he walked. As he is in the world, so are we to be in the world. We say, well, I'm not the preacher. I'm not a Sunday school teacher. I don't have this responsibility. Are you part of the family? Are you a Christian? Well, then you're part of the body and you're in the world. You represent the rest of us. It's real easy when some preacher falls, some TV evangelist or something, and we all want to point fingers and this and that and the other thing. And I'm not saying it was right or wrong. What I'm saying is we ought to start looking at our own selves. We have our own little realm that we have an impact on. Well, so I didn't do what he did. Yeah, but did you go off on the boss the other day? Listen, watch. The boss tells you something, and you didn't yell at him. You just said, I tell you, he's a mean man. I've been praying for him to get saved for years. I wonder why he hasn't. Because as Christ is, so are we to be. We are in this world. What you just did told him what you think Christ is. And if that's what Christ is, he doesn't need any of that. Would Jesus do this? I know that was a few years ago, and it went around, and everybody who called themselves Christian went around with their "what would Jesus do," bracelets and everything. But the fact is, it's a good question. What would Jesus do? If he wouldn't, then don't. If Jesus would have gone ahead and done this, then you should probably go ahead and do it too, if it's possible. What are you spending your life doing? Do you live by the Word of God? By the way, Jesus was the Word made flesh, the embodiment of the Word of God personified. As he is, so are we. We are to be the living Word of God. You know the old saying, we're the only gospel some people will ever see. One of these days I'm going to look through all my files and find that. I wrote a song years ago called Gospel According to You. Sunday morning Christians just break my heart in two. They say they love you on Sunday, but on Monday they will sue. They want to live two lives, one with God, one without. But the Lord says you can't live both ways. That's what I'm talking about. Are you living God's word? Are you living God's truth? Better get your Bible out and look again to see. That's the same old preacher, same thing I always was. But anyway, listen, we ought to... That's the only gospel some people are ever going to see. If you're trying to circumvent the commands of God, we can get around this and still be a Christian. You're not walking as Jesus walked. Jesus didn't look the way, see how little he could do and still get away with it. He was going to look how much he could do and still have enough energy to do a little bit more. Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. So as he is the light, we are to be the light. We are to walk as he walks. Number three, we are to be pure as he is pure. We are to be pure as he is pure. Turn the page again. 1 John 3, verse 1. 1 John 3, verse 1 says, Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. He purifies himself to make clean, to set apart to pureness. Clean, innocent, modest, chaste, set apart to God and blameless. Listen, as he is pure, we are to try to be pure. That doesn't mean we have to walk around in long robes with a thing on our head like they do over there. That's not what he's saying. There's principles. But I tell you what, we ought to be modest in the way we dress. We ought to be modest in the way we think. We ought to be modest in the way we talk. Listen, as he is pure, listen, it's not only what we do, but now, wait a minute, purity starts in the heart. As he is in his heart, As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's where sin and righteousness begins. That's where repentance begins. It's in the heart. As he is pure. You see, listen. If I'm saved and the Holy Spirit is in my heart, if you have not the Spirit, you're none of his. The Holy Spirit's not just sitting there doing nothing. He who hath begun a good work shall perform until the day of Jesus Christ. He has predestined us to be conformed to the image of Christ. Now, he didn't decide who was going to get saved. He knows who's going to get saved, who's not going to get saved. But in his foreknowledge, he knew who was going to get saved. And because of that, he's planned. If you're saved, he's got a plan for you. And part of that is to clean us up. was it Monday morning or Tuesday morning, what it was? Janet keeps Juliet. And just about time they got to the, she brings her over to our house, just about time she got to our house, our granddaughter, who's 7 months and 10 days, whatever it is, old, did what babies do. If you know what I mean. Just about time she got to the house. And, of course, she Hannah needed to get up here. She teaches, and she was dropped. She says, I'm so sorry, but I think we should just be just, you know, and hands her to Janet and has to leave. And it was a mess, apparently. I wasn't anywhere nearby. Apparently it was quite a mess. Now, she had to clean her up. Don't want to leave her that way. God wants us clean. He wants to clean. Listen, we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You go back to Ephesians. It says, by the washing of the water of the Word. As we get older, get the Word, purify it, let it wash out, wash this junk out. Keep washing it through, washing it through, washing it through. I had someone say this morning, he said, you know, preacher, you told me if you just start reading the Bible and just keep reading it, you keep reading, eventually it starts making sense and starts coagulating there, and all of a sudden you start seeing things you never saw before. He says, that happened to me this week. He said, I started reading the Bible first year, and this thing, he said, it happened to me this week. And I realized I saw something, and said, it put it together. Well, you know what? Listen, as you do, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You get the water of the Word washing through and washing through and washing through. It will purify you. Either that or you're going to get so disgusted with it, you won't go back and read it. Now, I've always been kind of a neatnik. Not in my office, but I always liked to dress well, always did, and one of those things. And in fact, when my senior year, I think it was my senior year, maybe it was my junior year, we did a play at high school, The Odd Couple. You know what I'm talking about? Oscar Madison, Felix Unger, you know, The Odd Couple. And I was always a ham, and I thought, well, I'm going to go out for the play. And it was all said and done. I played Oscar Madison. And I had about, probably a dozen people come and say, why are you Oscar Madison? You're more of a Felix type, aren't you? And I said, well, thank you a lot, you know. But anyway, everything's always just where you're supposed to be, you know, and every hair's in place, and this and that, you always dress a certain way. I thought of you more of as a Felix. Well, actually, by birth, I'm an Oscar Madison. But I want to make sure. Hey, this is, I said this to Janet the other day. I know this sounds funny. When I go to the hospital, I've slacked off a little bit here because I've had to go a few times on my days off and so forth, and sometimes I don't do this all the time, but most times I'm going to wear a suit jacket and a tie. If I go visitation, I'm going to wear a suit jacket and tie. You know what? I don't do that for me. And I know this sounds weird. You might not believe this, but I don't do that for me. I do it out of respect to the person I'm going to go see. You may not believe that or not, but that's the honest to goodness truth. I feel like that person is important. God died for their soul. I'm going to dress up and represent my Savior, and I want them to know that they're important. If I did a funeral for a loved one and I came in my holy blue jeans and a T-shirt, you would say, how disrespectful. Wouldn't you? Well, I'm going to preach the same message. I'm not good enough for you. That's not the point. It's out of respect. And so I'm not getting on all that kind of stuff. But the fact is, I want to make sure that I'm clean, I'm presentable, I want to purify myself even as He is pure. No matter what you wear, how you wear it, what it is. But the fact is, when it's all said and done, are you as He is? Are you letting things get cleaned up? You're giving a good testimony, purified as He is pure. There was no one more pure than Jesus. And we are to be pure in this world. And if we are not pure, then we need to be becoming pure. We need to maintain pureness by setting ourselves apart unto God and thus from the world. Now, wait a minute. I know the pure is kind of a relative term. Purity really is a constant, active occupation. I'm going to take a bath tomorrow morning again. Because I want to be clean. Before I go to sleep tonight, I have my head on the pillow. I'm going to do whatever I can to confess my sins, whatever I might have done. I always do something stupid. In the multitude of words, or one hath not sinned. I'd say a lot of words on Sunday, so I'm sure I've sinned someplace. So forgive me. But I want to be right before Him. I want to be clean. And tomorrow morning we'll do the same thing. I want to be pure before Him. Listen, making no place for the devil, no provision for the flesh, not even an appearance of evil. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. We cannot say, well, Jesus was God and I'm not God, so don't expect me to strive for purity because I will never reach it. No, you won't reach it. We will not reach it. But within the world, we are to be pure. It's kind of relative to a certain extent. We need to be pure. If you're not seeking to be more pure every day, you're not seeking to be as He is in this world. And as He is in this world, so are we to be. Number four, we are to be righteous as He is righteous. As He is in the world, so are we supposed to be. We are supposed to be righteous as He is righteous. Righteous is a word that means equitable, innocent, meet, fitting, just, fair. Not selfish, not taking bribes, not leaning here, not trying to get something out of it for our own self. Fair, equitable, righteous. Look at chapter 3, verse 4. We were right there. Chapter 3, verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin, that kind of committeth sin there has the idea of committeth and committing. Listen, we're all going to sin someplace. He just finished telling us in the first chapter, if you say you have no sin, you make God a liar. Okay, so what he's saying is someone who makes this a lifestyle, someone who just kind of lives that way, don't have a problem with it. He whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him, spends time with him, stays close to him, thinks about what he thinks, spends time learning what he thinks, whosoever abideth in him, sinneth not. Does it make sin a normal practice of life? Whosoever sinneth, make it a normal practice of life, hath not seen him nor known him. Now that's a tough statement. I didn't say it, he just said it there. Listen, if you have no problem with sin, except the fact you're going to get caught, you don't have any problems except the fact you're going to be embarrassed. Or you're afraid somebody's going to think bad about you. By the way, character is what you are in the dark. Reputation is what everybody thinks you are. But your character is what you are in the dark, or what your wife and your kids know that you are. When no one's looking, what are you? He says, if you have you can just, you know, if sin really isn't a problem, then he says, you haven't known him. Verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Don't allow anyone to fool you. You cannot claim to be righteous if you're not living righteously. Verse 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil. In other words, he's getting these actions from the devil. He's following his lead. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, what purpose? For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. So in other words, and we are to be as he is in the world. So whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. And he cannot sin and sin and sin and sin and sin. because he's born of God. In this, the children of God are manifest or shown, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. In other words, Jesus was not a sinner in this world, and since we are to be as he is in this world, then we must not be allow sin to be our character. Jesus wouldn't tell off-color jokes. Jesus didn't lie. He didn't shade the truth. He didn't try to slide by on his taxes on a loophole that's really not a loophole. He didn't shun the unlovely. Ask yourself a question. Are you selfish and self-serving on a regular basis? Is that who you are? I've seen people actually kind of proud. That's who I am. You know, that's where I am. And they claim to be a Christian. I think the closer you become like Christ, the closer you get to Christ, the more you become like Christ, the more you can become like Christ, the more you find yourself ministering rather than being ministered to. Now, you can go out and try to do all these kind of things so everybody thinks you're like Christ, and you're really just trying to get yourself a pat on the back. That doesn't count. You got your reward. Someone who walks like Christ, walks with Christ, forgets about that. I think they forget about that. It's about what can I do for that other person? Do you think you have to have your way? Do you think that others should be set aside so that you can have your way? We're supposed to be righteous as he is righteous. Number five. And this is one we've talked about before, so we won't spend a lot of time on this. We should love as he loves. We should love as he loves. Chapter 4, verse 12. 1 John 4:12. And you've heard me say it so many times, but watch it. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever that shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect. This is where it begins this evening. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. One little question. Do you truly love others, or do you kind of pretend your love so that others will think you're loving and nice? That way they'll want to love you. You ever meet somebody that wants to say, I'm the perky one, or I'm the kind one, or I'm this, or I'm that one, and then when you don't appreciate, they get mad at you? This we're all hypocrites. Come to church with the rest of us. Take your halos off. You know, there's hypocrites everywhere. There's hypocrites at the church. By the way, there's hypocrites down at the grocery store. There's hypocrites at the gas station. We're all hypocrites sometime or another. But we're supposed to be becoming more like Christ. So in that essence there, have you ever noticed some people say, well, I'm going to be this one. Everybody pats them on the back. Now I think, you know what? I think if, you know, the Holy Spirit speaks, if that's the issue, he might have just said something to you. Maybe. If that bothers you, you know, listen, if it really is you just love because you love, it probably would almost be hard to comprehend loving in order to be loved. Because people who are truly loving just give. That's the way they are. That's the way they live. We're to be as he is. I'm almost done. Here's a question. Does the world see Jesus in you? As he is, so are we in the world. Let me help myself. I can't remember either. Be light as he's light. Walk as he walks. Pure as he's pure. Righteous as he is righteous. And loving as he's loving. Does the world see Jesus in you? Do people see that you truly care? Now, by the way, you may truly care, and some people may never see it nor appreciate it. And then it wasn't worth it. No, we didn't do it to get the pat on the back. But they didn't know. Well, I mean, some people don't see it. They don't. That's all right. Some people didn't know that Jesus loved them. But in general, do people know that you care? Do people see that you love them? I'm not saying you put your hand out, give them a smile, and shake their hand on a Sunday morning. Do you love them? Now, I'll be honest with you. You can't be everywhere for everybody. I understand that. So don't beat yourself up to pieces. But sometimes the Lord brings somebody across your path. Do you love them? As God gives you opportunity, do you love them? Or are you doing what you do to be loved? No matter what you do, some folks will never be satisfied. And they were not satisfied with Jesus. And they thought Jesus spent too much time with sinners and not enough time with the superiors. They didn't like that he went after the wayward sheep instead of coddling the 99. He went out and found the one. They didn't like that. But he was loving. They didn't understand love. In fact, some people don't understand Christ because they don't understand love because they don't understand Christ. But on the other hand, do you love as Jesus loves? So we are to be as Jesus is in the world. We are to be light, making truth clear to all. We are to walk as Jesus walked in truth, obedient to the laws of God. We are to be pure as Jesus is pure. Not the emerging church style. You're not hearing that quite as much, but they keep changing the titles, you know, so that we don't get caught up in there. I mean, some places where they're almost proud of being vulgar in the way they speak. Almost proud and say, it's almost like 1 Corinthians, where there was somebody in their church that was having an affair with his father's wife, and they were almost puffed up and proud about it. No. That's not what we're talking about. I'm not proud of the fact that we can live in grace and see how close we can get to sin. Or how much sin we can do, and shall we sin so grace may abound? God forbid. But purify ourselves as he is pure. We're to be righteous as Jesus is righteous and love as Jesus loves, because as he is, so are we in the world. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for speaking to us here this evening. Just a few thoughts, some things to meditate on this week, to think about, to mull over in our minds. Are we really light? Or do we obscure the light by the way we live? Do we walk? Do we live our life like other people, like we're supposed to? Do we walk like Jesus walks? Do we purify ourselves as he is pure? Are we righteous as he is righteous? Do we love as he loves? Because as he is, we are to be in the world. Lord, help us to be what we're supposed to be for others' sake. I don't want a proud congregation and even people say, well, look how righteous we are. Look how godly we are. That's not godly at all. But Lord, if we can be real from the heart, truly be like Christ, becoming like him on the inside, that's going to show up on the outside. Lord, help us to be what we need to be for your sake and for the sake of others. Thank you for speaking to our hearts, and we'll give the praise in Christ's name. Amen.